The following shiur has been presented by Rav Yitzchak Sorotsky and Shlita, Rosh Yeshivas Tells, Masifta of Lakewood.
To reach the Center for Marital or Familial Matters, call the Evan Ezer Division at 1-888-485-VAAD or visit thehalachacenter.org.
We are living in a time of affluence. We have so much more than previous generations, and nevertheless, there are so many unhappy and depressed people. Happiness is not attained by having a lot, but happiness is attained by being content with what you have. Richness is not determined by having a lot, but Ashiras is somebody who's Sameach B'chalkoi. He doesn't feel the need that he's lacking, and he's content with his lot. I would like to discuss today the reasons and the advantages of living a simple lifestyle. I once saw a bumper sticker maybe 5-10 years ago, and I thought it was a very good bumper sticker. The sticker read, "Live simply so that others can simply live." And I thought it was a very good message. People tend to be happy until they see their neighbor get something better than them. I just recently overheard something. Somebody had a beautiful house, a luxurious home, and all of a sudden his neighbor built a little bigger house than him. This person made a statement, and it's, "Since the day my neighbor put up that house, I don't enjoy my house one bit." This is nevach, the situation that we find ourselves. We tend to be jealous of other people, and we tend to kill ourselves to keep up with other people. The Rambam writes, if a person would live in a midbar, he would be content to live in a shack. The Rambam says he would go around with torn clothes. We all know in the summer when you're in a bungalow colony and everybody seems basically to have the same type of dwelling, everybody's content, everybody's happy, and you live so much lower than what you live a whole year, and somehow you can manage a few months of your year with such substandard conditions. I was up going traveling through the mountains, and I looked at the different dilapidated houses that there was in the mountains, broken up, not painted, and you meet the people that live there, and they don't seem that it bothers them in the slightest. They're so happy, so ruhig bazich. It's only when we see what somebody else has more, all of a sudden we feel the need. We can't manage on what we have. The Tanna tells us, "Ezeu derech yeshoreh, sheyover lo ha'odom, sheyitzvik bo ha'odom, ayin toive." And the Rambam says, ayin toive means hisapkus. A person who's not jealous of other people, nor he's mistapek with what he has. Rabbi Yoina adds, Sameach b'chalkoi. Hisapkus doesn't mean that you feel you're sacrificing for a goal, for a But Hesperides means finding contentment and happiness in the way you're living, and not looking for more. The Gemara tells us, Kol ha'olam nizon b'shvil chanina b'ni, v'chanina b'ni dai loy b'kav charuvi. A whole world was sustained because of Chanina, and Chanina was sufficient for him, a bushel of butter. Now the Ben Yehuda asks, why doesn't the Gemara finish off the Chanina Nizoin Bikat Charubi? Kol Oilom Nizoin Bishvil Chanina, and Chanina was Nizan with Akav Charubi. And then Yoyoda says, the Gemara is teaching us a lesson, a message. It wasn't that Chanina looked at everybody else and said, look at my lifestyle in comparison to everybody else. Nor Chanina dailoi bikav charuvi. He had no desire to have the lifestyle of the people around him. He was content, he was happy, he was satisfied. He didn't need anything more than that. The Tanya tells us, Kachi Darko Shel Torah. What is the Torah way of life? Pas b'melech toichal, mayim b'mesoyre tishteh, v'alor tishon v'chayi tzar tichyeh, ubitoyre ata omo. Ima to oisekein, the Tana continues, ashrecho v'toivloch. It will be fortunate for you, and it will be good for you. Ashrecho v'oilom hazeh, v'toivloch l'oilom habo. The Tana is telling us, what is the Torah way of life? It's not a life of riches. It's a simple lifestyle. Pas b'melech mayim b'mitzoyreh chayitzar al-oritz tishon. And the Tana says, if you live that way, you're guaranteed. Ashrecho ba'olam hazeh v'toivloch la'olam habo. In both worlds, it will be good for you. It will be ashrecho. And the simple way of understanding the words of the Tana is, if a person realizes how great his reward will be in the world to come. The Kli Yoker writes in Parshas Vishalach, people, he says, spend so much time amassing a fortune, money that they don't need. There's a Kotzker Vort. The world is killing themselves, and you ask them, for who are you working so hard to amass such a fortune? And they say, for my child. And then they leave the world, and the money goes on to the child, and then the child continues and does the same thing. And the Kotzke used to say, I'm looking for that child that the whole world is working for. The Kli Yoker says people invest so much time in their life, and they don't focus on what's important, which is Avodas Hashem, which is Torah, which is mitzvahs. If you're busy and you set up your day and your life to be geared to put in so many hours in things that are really not valuable, instead of utilizing your time wisely for things of importance which you will need when the next world comes around. If a person realizes the reward that he's going to get, if it's difficult for him in this world, if it's not so comfortable for him in this world, we know the fun tzara agra, the more If a person understands this and has true emunah and be talking about Hashem, then he doesn't feel the need. He's not compelled to have all these things. Everybody knows the story with the Chofetz Chaim. This rich person came to see the great Chofetz Chaim. He expected him to be living in a great mansion with servants, with beautiful furniture. And then he realized and sees the shack that the Chofetz Chaim, the dirt floor. There was no set of furniture in his home. No furniture. And he asks him, "Where is your furniture?" And the Chofetz Chaim responds, "Where is your furniture?" And he answers him, "I'm traveling. Do you expect me to have my furniture with me?" And the Chofetz Chaim says, "We're all traveling in this world. This is a temporary life. Nobody is here too long." And if a person would understand that and realize the final destination, the Tachana Sofit, which is the main life that we hope to acquire, so then all these things fall on the wayside, they're not important. You know, it used to be, years ago, the dream of the Yiddish Mame, my son the doctor. My son the doctor was something that everybody, mothers, were looking forward to. How difficult does a doctor live to become a doctor? Maybe 10, 12 years of his life, he doesn't have day and night. He's studying endlessly around the clock. Many times he has to travel to go to foreign countries to get exams to study in the colleges in foreign countries. And then when he becomes a resident, he might have to go to a different state, a different city, and he interns in another city. He's on the go. And then you see they don't sleep around the clock. They don't sleep literally for years. And this goes on for who knows how long. And are they depressed? When they want something dearly and they understand the significance of what they're getting, then everything becomes a tuffle and bottle to what their goal is. When a person understands what our goals are in life, what the values of life are, then all these things are trivial and they all have no meaning and they can't damper your happiness of living a Torah lifestyle. But it's far, far more than that example that we're giving from a doctor. A person's essence is his neshama. This is what a person is all about. And as the Mesilas Yeshorim says, the neshama is tshuke. The neshama is sipuk, is only from ruchnius and avodas Hashem. The neshama finds no happiness in worldly pleasures. You can't satisfy the cravings of your neshama with olam hazeh. The more you give it its food, ruchnius, the happier it is. The Rachayim HaKodesh says in Parshas Kisavoy, if people would truly feel the sweetness of Torah, the Pasuk says, v'samachto v'chol hatoy, you can find happiness in all the toy. What is all the toy referring to? Zoftar Chaim in Toy Vela Toyre Chazal tell us. You can find your complete happiness only in Torah. And he says, if a person would truly feel the beauty and the sweetness of Torah, for you mishtagin u'mishlatin achareho, they would go like a shikr to Torah. They would go mishugah. They would go out of their minds. V'lo ha'yinekshu v'ineyem kol kesev v'zov shevo'oylom loy klum. that you can get from Torah. You know, they used to ask about Victor Miller, why did he never go on a vacation? And he responded and he said, I have no need for a vacation. I'm so happy with my lifestyle, I don't want to get away from it. The Baron used to say, when you see people every 3 weeks traveling to another destination to enjoy themselves for a weekend here and a week here, it's because they don't feel satisfied and content in their lifestyle. And they're looking for something to give them happiness, but it's always eluding them. They're never having it because they don't understand that the true happiness can only come from Ruchnius. Your neshama needs Ruchnius for it to feel content. The Tanya tells us, when you learn a lot of Torah, when you do mitzvahs Hashem, you will have your source of nourishment, of happiness. You won't find any needs for any other thing to give you happiness. But there's something more than that. There's a Medrash in Kehelis. The Medrash tells us in Kehelis, Ein Odom Yoytzi Min Ha'Olam V'Katzi Tavosoi B'Yodam. Nobody ever attains full satisfaction. You talk to some people, they're working, and they have so much, and they say, oh, I hope in Mirtz Hashem when I'll get more, when I'll get another million, another 2 million, then I'll stop and retire. And then they get that million and two, and then they're again not retiring. And it's a vicious cycle. The Medrash tells us why. Mi shigesh loy meyer roitza mosayim. Mi shigesh loy mosayim roitza arba meyers. The death of a person is, as much as he has, he's never going to be satisfied with what he has. The Eberster gave this in a person for Ruchnius, that you should never be content with your Ruchnius, and you should always have a drive to want to do more. And if a person changes that, and his drive becomes in other material things, whatever he has, he's always going to be missing another 50%. You have 100, you want 200. You have 1 million, you want 2 million. No matter, the more you have, the more you need. You know, I once was visiting by a very wealthy person collecting for the yeshiva. He was valued, estimated that he has like about $200 million. And he gave us a very nice contribution. And he was a little uneasy from the luxurious office and the lifestyle that he led. And he was trying to somehow emphasize this to us that, you know something, I'm not so greedy. I don't really, really want that. Those rich tycoons, those billionaires. Baruch Hashem, I could manage on what I have, and I'm not looking to become the richest person in the world. This is what he tells us. And I'm thinking to myself, who are you kidding? You know why you don't want to be a billionaire today? Because you're not in that bracket. Today you have 200 million. I know what you want. You want 400 million. When you'll get 400 million, then it'll grow to 800 million. And then as you get more, then you'll want to be a billionaire. This is Rachmana Lislam, the Teva Adam. That a person is never ever satisfied with the amount that he has. David HaMelech says, we say in Shabbos Dikadavanin, Kvirim Roshu V'ro'evu V'dor She'ashem Lo Yatsiru Kol Toif. The Mephoshim explain, who are these Kvirim, these lions, these mighty people? G'doylin V'ashirim. Rich people, David HaMelech says, are rosh, you are in essence poor. V'ra'evu, and they're hungry. They constantly feel such a tremendous lack. They're deprived. They don't have, they're missing so much. Once they got themselves for the boat. But they're not lacking anything. They don't need it. They don't feel deprived. The Bnei Lapian used to say over a Moshe from the Shalom on this pasuk. And the Shalom said there was once Nebuch, a person who was very, very sick. And he had so many medications that he had to take. And he was once traveling, and he was in another city, and he was a guest by somebody, and then he went to open up his suitcases to take out his medicine, and he realized, oh, he forgot his medications back at home. So he didn't know what to do, and he goes to his friend and says, maybe you have the medications that I need. And he tells him, why don't you go look in my medicine chest and take whatever you need from there. He goes into his medicine chest, and he looks through, and he finds there's barely any medications there. And he's thinking to himself, wow, such an poor man, such a poor person, he can't even afford all these medications. And he comes back to him and says, wow, you really need help. You don't have all these medications that I have. And he laughs at him. He says, fool that you are. You're so sick. You need all those medications. I'm Baruch Hashem healthy. I don't need those medications. Zok Tishalot, all these pleasures of the world are medications for sick people. Rachmon al-Islam. If you'd be healthy, if you'd live a healthy lifestyle, if you would leave a Yiddish and Torahic lifestyle, you'd be healthy. There's no need for all these medications. You have the greatest simcha, the greatest tainuk, the greatest pleasure in your lifestyle. You know, the Velt asked the question, the Eibishter gave us the Torah in the Midbar. Everybody knows that a person has to have menuchas hanefesh in order to learn Torah. Wouldn't it be more appropriate that the Eibishter should wait till we come there to Yisrael, Yishmachas Gafnoi, Yishmachas Teinotsoi? Why is it the Eibishter gives us when we're metultal v'noz, we're traveling, we're moving, we're not in our homeland, we're in the Midbar? How is that conducive to learning Torah? And if Yeruchim says the mayor Diki Yisoyt, and he says that people have a tremendous misconception of how they're going to get their Menuchas HaNefesh. People correlate Menuchas HaGuf and Menuchas HaNefesh. And people think if you get all your needs taken care of to the T, then you're going to find Menuchas HaNefesh. And you have to make sure to get every different thing to make sure you're comfortable. And then you can have Menuchas HaNefesh. And he says this is exactly more and more. And he says everybody knows the most important thing on the battlefront when people or country is going to war is that the soldiers should have menuchas ha-nefesh. So what would we think? How should you make the life of a soldier? You should build them 5-star hotels, give them the best food, make sure they have all the comforts, air conditioning, who knows what they shouldn't have. And if you would ever visit the barracks of soldiers, you would see the substandard life conditions that they live in. Who's talking about air conditioning? Who's talking about mattresses? There's no water. There's nothing. They're so deprived. They take them through Ba'eshu B'mayim. They train them through sand and forests and prickers and sickness of everything. Why? Because when a person gets accustomed to be able to live in any fashion, then nothing is going to take away his peace of mind. If they would train the soldiers in a fashion that they get everything, then every little thing would take away from their peaceness of mind. You know, I used to have Russian workers by me. There was an influx of Russian ladies working by me. And I used to be amazed at how happy they were. And I used to think to myself, you know, they must have done a tremendous job of brainwashing these people. You talk to them and they tell you, oh, it was so good in Russia. We had everything. We weren't missing nothing. And here, they're not even happy. They come here, they're less happier, and a lot of them run back to Russia. And I always thought to myself, wow, they must have brainwashed them quite well. And then I came to realize it's true. The fact that they lived the way they lived, living without having, they don't feel the need for anything. You ever observe a schmarzer? You think to yourself, what are they so happy-go-lucky? You see them running like top of the world. They have their beer can and their besimcha gdoila. They have $3 and they're totally unhappy people. Today you can see it in many Mexicans. They're walking around without a worry at all. And everybody else is so worried, so fundigent. What's going to be with my life? How am I going to manage? And it doesn't seem to be a problem for the Mexican. The Mexican gets, if he gets $10 an hour, he's lucky. And he's happy, he's content, and he manages, and he lives. How does he do it? The answer is that you never have. If you know how they were living in Mexico, I know how they were living in Mexico. In holes in the ground. That's how they were living in Mexico. They had absolutely zero. And that absolutely zero was the source of their happiness. Because they got used to living without. You know, the stifler used to say that he used to be in the olden days in Europe, there was one unhappy person in a city, one disillusioned person in a city, and today Nebuchadnezzar says, I come across hundreds and hundreds of unhappy people, disillusioned people. I think the country that's the most dissatisfied and unhappy on top of everybody is America. The land of plenty. The land that you have and have and have. And that's the land where you don't have and you don't have and you don't have. And he says the reason why they're so unhappy is because we trained ourselves. We trained our children. Ibetanimo. Free snacks. A toy like this for the second birthday. An electric car for the third. And then you get a mini condom for your 16th birthday. And the list goes on and on. We give them everything. And because they got used to having so much. And then they get sometimes they have to hold back. Or they can't come to face reality. And there's problems that they can't get whatever they want. Then there's bayot, then there's problems. Everybody knows the mindset. Somebody came to the Rebbe and asked him, what does it mean, kishem shemivorkim al atoy, kach mivorkim al ara? How can you bless the Eved Shtepara? roof. Kids are going with torn clothes, without shoes. It's dark, it's cold, it's misty. It's such a bitter rachmanis on Reb Zusha. You come in, he comes into Reb Zusha, and he says, Reb Zusha, you know, the Rebbe told me to ask you, how is it possible? He says, you know, you got the wrong address. You got to go to somebody who experienced bad in his life. A person who had it bad, he can maybe explain you, but I don't need anything. I'm happy. I'm Hashem Tzefriden. I don't feel any need. If a person is healthy and he lives a really Yiddish lifestyle, then all these things are not important to the person. He doesn't feel any need for it. The story goes, there was a rich, rich person who had no ayers, he had no yorshim, and he was looking for somebody to give the money that he had amassed. And he was looking for the most unglitzlichest person in the world. And he was looking and looking, and finally came across somebody, and he sees the person doesn't have a shirt on his back, he doesn't have any clothes, he looks like he never ate in 3 weeks, he's shabby, never took a haircut, he never washed himself. Oh, this is the person. And he comes to give him his money, and he spits at him, and he says, I have no need for this money. I'm Baruch Hashem, so happy, so content. I have everything that I could want, whatever I need. You know, years ago, I once came into a city, and I bumped into a Rosh Hashiva. And he tells me, you know, the world is jealous of this particular rich man. He's so rich. And you know something he says to me? In my eyes, he's the most unglücklichest person in the world. He's the most unhappy. He got himself into such a matzav that's such a bitter rachmanis on this person. And he tells me, you know something? He doesn't sleep at night. His mind, he's always worrying about what's happening with all his riches. How's he going to make ends meet? He's traveling for weeks at an end. Maybe he goes away 3-4 weeks at a time. He lives in hotels out of a tuna fish can with matzah, with secluded in foreign countries, without food, without people around, without minyanim, without his family. And then he comes back once in 4 weeks. He comes flying in on a private jet, Erev Shabbos by Lichtenstein. And then he's finally home, and he's so fatigued he falls down Shabbos from Oyster Koiches. He can't enjoy his family. His family doesn't see him. And then Moitzoy Shabbos, he's already flying out again, out somewhere else. Is that life? Is that happiness? Is that what it takes to be rich for? You know something? I happened to be in this person's house another occasion. He was an Ovel, and I came to Menachem Ovelim. And they told me they're going to be serving him lunch. And I wanted to see, what is this person's lunch? What am I missing out? What kind of lunch can he have? And they bring him the lunch there, and I have to tell you what they brought. They brought him a glass of milk, and 2 peeled potatoes, cooked, without butter, without anything. I'm looking at myself, this is what riches is all about. 2 peeled potatoes with a little milk. I figured maybe it's because of that daveness he's eating this type of a food. They told me, no, this is basically what he eats for lunch. They told me he has ulcers. He developed shrekelecha ulcers. He can't stomach anything. This is the life of a gvir. I was in by a gvir. I couldn't catch him because he never was home. Then I finally caught him, and he tells me, you know something? I get up 3:30 in the morning. And 3:30 in the morning, I can't eat, but I'm away a whole day in a place where I can't have any food. So I make myself a little porridge, and I eat a little porridge, and I don't even put any sugar, anything in, and I come home about 8, 9 o'clock without eating anything in the day, and then I come home, and I'm always geeking out, always good shit, and then I barely stay up for about an hour or two, and then I'm falling into bed. Now, I ask you, is that happiness? Is that craziness? Living a life like a maniac. Living a life instead of having the basic elementary nachas of having family life with your family, with your children, being there for them. Being there every day for all the times to enjoy your family, your life. Live a lifestyle that makes you enjoy the simple things that every family should be enjoying and should have happiness. Instead, we get ourselves tied up and we can't get out of it. We get and get and get endlessly. We have to get up 5 in the morning and we have to kill ourselves for what? Focus a little about a problem that we, our generation, is experiencing more than other generations. In other generations, people didn't have. And because people didn't have, they were compelled and forced to live on such low, low standards. Today, money is available for people, not today as it was years ago, but mortgages, credit cards, people spent money that they didn't have. People got themselves accustomed to lifestyles that were way beyond what they can live on. Today there are people, Rachmana Litzman, that will tell you, and they don't shame themselves to say it, I can't make ends meet at $250,000 a year. Wow! There are people that are living on $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $60,000, $100,000, and you can't make ends meet at $250,000? You get yourself used to a tremendous high lifestyle. There's a survey that they take that the Yiddish lifestyle is maybe 4 or 5 times greater than the Welt lifestyle. We get ourselves to have $1,000 suits. I need a luxury car. I need a palace. People are getting married and going into houses way larger than what they need. Big houses. For what? And then they get crushed. They can't make the payments. When the times were going good, then it was easier. But times change. And Chazal tell us it's not healthy for a person to get used to a certain high lifestyle because that it could change and times can differ. Chazal tell us in Chulin, a person has to set himself up a lifestyle for all times. He can't make himself an extravagant high lifestyle and think it's always going to be the same. You've got to have seichel and understand, live in your means. Chazal charted us out a guideline in Chulin and Daf Pei Daled. Chazal tell us a person should eat and drink less than what he could afford. Clothe yourself according to your means. Don't go overboard. My children have to wear labor designs. And you know how funny it is? I'll tell you a little story. Somebody opened up a store years ago in Borovac, a jewelry store. And this lady meant well, because she wanted to help the situation. She saw never how people have to spend. The prices are so outrageous for all different things. And she figured she's going to do a service for the community. So she got a cheaper line, and she had the prices a 10th to a 20th of what the other stores were selling. She says nobody walked into her or whatever she was selling for $5, schmeckes, one $5 stuff, and it was good quality, she says. And then she raised it to 10, one or two people came in. And the higher she raised it, the more people came in to buy from her. And when it was $250, then a flock of people came for the same merchandise. And then she walked in the street and she overheard two people talking to one another. You see my jewelry, you know how much I paid for it? I paid $250 for my jewelry, partially jewelry. And this one says, you know, I have a stroller. I have a Piccoli story. I don't know what the strollers are, but I have this kind of a stroller. And I have this fancy label. Bishugats! You know what a label is? It says made in Italy. They go to Italy and put the label on in Italy. The suit is made in America, and the label is in Italy, and that's why you pay $1,000 for the Italianish suit. This is the Narishkeit of a belt. Let us understand to live, taper down our lifestyle. There are people that are getting affected from us who live on a higher lifestyle. It creates pressures on other people, everybody. Whether you could afford it or you can't afford it, nobody knows how the tide turns. People who have had are at one of the slums today, Tanki Shabbos recipients. With Boucher, and they're eating their heart out. Families are getting disrupted, shalom bayis, tension and friction, shalom bayis from the tremendous pressures because people got themselves used to living lifestyles which they should never have got themselves in to begin with. We have to decrease our lifestyle, put the brakes on, and then go in reverse. Go downscale your lifestyle. And then we have a group of people that are almost making it. They're maybe short $10,000 to $15,000. And they give up because the pressures are insurmountable for them. And it's very difficult for them to cut. If they would try and look for ways to increase, to get a little more money, it's possible. It's not out of your grasp. And when you're already looking forward, when you don't have a yeesh and you're positive, and you're looking to be able to make it, then you'll find ways to cut from things that you thought you need when you realize it's not necessary. Let us understand what our tachlis is in life. Our focus, if we would truly understand why we're here, what gives us our real simcha? Our simcha comes from ruchnius. Then we wouldn't feel the pressures of not having, because we would taper down our lifestyles. We would understand that we can manage with a lot less. Olden generations of Shach used to say, he's an Amoliki Yid. And they used to ask him, what do you mean an Amoliki Yid? Amoliki Yid that was Sameach V'Chalkoi. An Amoliki Yid that lived his life of Ruchnius and a little herring he subscribed himself on. He didn't need more than a bissel kichel, a bissel herring, or even gishmak, this is a bissel brom for Nochem Davonen. He didn't need all these things that we got ourselves used to. The word need, we never grew up with that word. It's a dreadful word that came in the last 30, 40 years. When I grew up, you always said, I want, but you never said, I need. Today, everything becomes a need. It's a effort. Children say, I need this, I need this, I can't get along without it. Let's take out the word need from the dictionary. There's no need for it. You got yourself into it. Get yourself out of it. Get yourself understanding that you don't need it. You maybe want it, but if it's only a want, then you can understand that it's possible to live without it. You can manage your lifestyle, and then will be Ashrecha v'toivlach v'oilom hazeh
u'v'oilom hazeh. The Beis Havad on the Parsha series has been brought to you by the Halacha Center.